This is a mother-daughter podcast, but it is not for kids. This podcast will be discussing adult subject matter that may not be suitable for all ages. Listener discretion advised.
Welcome back to a very special episode of the Don't Look podcast. I am Kat's mom.
And I'm Kat.
And this is a podcast where I don't listen to anything. I watch uncomfortable movies with my daughter.
So you don't have to with yours.
And it is our horror to watch.
Your pleasure to listen.
Hopefully.
This one might be a little bit rough.
Why?
Well, I'm just saying that your voice is a little bit gone from the choir show.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sterile a little bit, but hopefully it won't be too bad.
I'm not 100% energy because I do have a bit of a headache, but it'll be okay.
It'll be okay because I love this movie and it is for my birthday.
Yes, this is Mom's special birthday pick.
Yep, it is my birthday pick and I love it and I haven't seen it in a while and I'm really excited to watch it and I hope you guys will be excited too and I hope you'll find it as amusing as I do because I love it. And, you know, if it's a first watch or anybody, welcome. Welcome, because this is such a good one. I mean, it's legit good. It's not just like trash that we enjoy. It's like, it's a really good movie. So do we have any updates that we want to share with the Super 8?
Oh gosh, I feel like we've done so much stuff because it was Halloween time.
Yep. You know, we love our spooky season. I think our last bonus episode came out right at Halloween.
Yep.
Hope you guys enjoyed and had an amazing, amazing, amazing Halloween and a blessed Samhain for those that celebrate. And we had a great time here at Graves Haunted Yard. We had over 350 people stroll through our display and we raised some cash for St. Jude, which was awesome. So it was a big success and we were very, 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 very happy to do it. So it was great, love, and we have all our notes ready for next year, and I already have the plans for next Halloween. So it's one of those things. It's not spooky season, it's spooky for life. And Kat, you actually participated in some spook 'em ups this time around.
Oh, that haunted house that we went to? Yeah, yes. That was really fun.
Yeah, it's not just me talking about spook 'em ups this time.
Yeah, what was that? That was
the Waldorf Estate of Fear.
It's something Estate of Fear.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was a really good time.
If you're fans of the movie Hell House, you will know that place. It is the...
it's Hell House.
Yes, it is the location of the first three films in that franchise. So it was really, really cool to be able to walk through there. Even though Kat did not walk through the actual house, which is fine. She made huge, huge strides in her haunted life and participated in the outdoor activities, which was such fun for me.
Yeah, who just got to sit there and make fun of me the whole time. So fun.
It's not like you were alone. You totally had backup.
Yes. I don't love.
Do you want to talk about your experience?
You just wanted to make fun of me the whole time.
I never made fun of you. I don't know what you're talking about.
You laughed at me the entire time.
Number one, I didn't laugh at you. I laughed behind you.
In my direction.
And it's not like we sent you out to the wolves all alone. You had a buddy. We sent you with a friend.
With our friend Corinne.
Who was probably more scared than you.
It was a really good time. It really is like you can tell that the people there really enjoy doing it. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is definitely probably my favorite.
Yeah, and they have like a little bonfire outside the house where they play, and then they play like Hell House on the TV. So I got to like watch Hell House and chit chat with people about it while they were in it. It was really cool.
Yeah, it's a good time. So yeah, that was I guess your first like actual haunted house experience, kind of, even though you didn't go through the house. You went down the trails.
Yeah, excluding like HHN.
Do you want to talk about it?
No.
No? Okay, cool.
I don't know what to say. Like, I don't know.
I mean, you just want to talk about what you did, like what it was?
Oh, sure. It's like, they did two things. One of them is like a little, like, zombie outbreak type of deal. So you had to, like, go through and you had to collect a little, like, a little antidote and a little floppy disk with data information. And you're supposed to give, like, a friendship bracelet to the person at the entrance. She's like, hey, take this friendship bracelet. My brother Will's in there somewhere, and he'll help you out.
I mean, the acting is a little better than that, but that's essentially what she says. Yeah, she's all disheveled, and she's, like, very desperate, and it's a whole thing.
And she, you can tell she's going to be turned in, like, a couple moments. It's not great. But, yeah, and then so we went through, and we found Will, and it was very fun, and we got all the stuff, and we brought it back to HQ.
She's just making it sound very nonchalant. It was great. Nobody was nonchalant in the moment. There was some nervousness, some running, some yelling. There may have been a little cussing. I'm not sure. But that did happen. And then what was the other thing that you went through?
That's like, they do like scenes from a bunch of different movies, and they put on like little performances for you, which is really cool. Although I did just kind of want to run through that one as well. But so did Corinne, so I'm not alone in that.
So like, what kind of movies did they have?
They had Nightmare on Elm Street, Beetlejuice, Children of the Corn, The Ring, Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm missing one. It.
Yep. Pet Cemetery.
Thank you. Might be all of them. I'm not sure.
Jeepers Creepers, which was new this year, so I wasn't ready. And the creeper almost got me. I was not prepared.
Creeper almost got Ma. I tried to save her, and she's like, no, I'm going to hang out here. And then she almost got God.
I did. Creeper almost got me. It was great. So it was nice. It was nice that the cat came along, because she normally does not do these things. But we felt pretty good because these are outside and they are no touch there. So
yeah it's very chill. It's very fun.
Yeah. And then we also went to Penhurst, which is our local
haunt. I didn't go to Penhurst.
Cat did not go to Penhurst. That is not a full touch, but they are allowed to, like, you know, grab your hair and stuff there, or like touch your arm or whatever. Like, nobody's grabbing and forcefully like holding on to anyone or anything like that. But this is Penhurst Asylum, which is a it's exactly what it sounds like, right here in our town. And it is a very well renowned, like, haunted location. We get a lot of paranormal researchers that will come and kind of go through on a Halloween. They turn it in, and Halloween and Christmas and halfway to Halloween and
Valentine's Day.
I don't know if I just made that up in my head.
I really feel like I remember seeing
do.
Advertisements for it.
I feel
Facebook.
Like it might be, but they will, you know, do a whole haunted attraction, which is so much fun and just a really good time. And they do a really good job. So, the Hubs and Karen and I all went and did that, which was great. So we had a whole lot of fun there. Really, really awesome haunt. If you can get there, I highly recommend it. All right. Any other activities since we last talked to the Super 8?
We went to Monster Mania.
Monster Mania. Oh my gosh. That was just the other day.
It was. It was a lot of fun. A lot of really cool vendors this year. We got some cool stuff. We got some books.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say though, I am kind of over Art the Clown right now.
Very much so.
I know we just did Terrifier and you guys are probably like, what are you talking about? Like, you just like jumped on the Art the Clown train like a couple of weeks ago.
We jumped on the train in order to like monopolize that train, if we're being honest.
Well, no, I really do like Terrifier too. I'm dying on the hill.
That's true. But that is the reason that we decided to watch the movie, is because there's a lot of popularity around it right now.
And I got automatic triple bonus for the madness.
And you got automatic triple bonus for the madness.
Correct.
However, like we said in that episode too,
get up on the zeitgeist a little bit. Yeah, I mean, that is true.
I mean, you know, we're a bit selfless on, or
selfish,
no. shameless, a little shameless. But, and as we said in that episode, I don't think he can hang with the boys, and I don't think that, like, you didn't really have the that many like ghost face, like people walking around as Ghostface or Jason or Michael. Like you had very few of those,
but so many much Art the Clown. Well, I am because he was there. Yeah, but I mean, even if he wasn't there, like every vendor had some form like Art the Clown merch, masks, figures, purses, shirts. Minifigs.
I got such a cool Friday the 13th poster. I'm gonna have to. We'll get cards for our next episode because I forgot them downstairs. But or when we maybe when we come back.
Yeah.
Art the Clown. I got a very cool Friday the 13th poster that I'm very excited about because it's like that scene at the end that I love where she's just like chilling with her hand in the water in the canoe. Ah, so good. And then I got a really cool Lisa Frankenstein poster, and I'm probably going to get more posters from this guy because all of the posters he had were sweet.
And
I got to meet her, and she signed it, and we're both cat, and we had like a little cat moment. It was great.
It was great. She is adorable. She's so Catherine sweet. Newton. She is so sweet. Love her. Adorable. Just the cutest little person. Yeah,
and she was just like wearing her like Chucky sweatshirt, and I was like, that's...
she was just like comfortable and adorable and just...
It's great.
Love. And I got to see Tom Skerritt, who I almost wasn't going to, but I'm really glad I did because I did not realize how old Tom Skerritt is. And it was really scary to like kind of see him. And I was like, is that Tom Skerritt? And it was. So I did get to meet him very briefly, and I did get a signature from him. And I'm really glad that I did, thanks to your cat, who kind of was like, Mom, you need to do this.
Yeah, I don't need to do this. I'm not going to do it. And I was like, I'm going to the vending machine or the ATM to get you cash.
Yeah, especially because we did just lose Tony Todd, which is a huge, huge, huge hit to the horror community and my heart. Because I don't know if everyone knows, but a lot of people know Candyman is like one of my absolute, absolute, absolute favorites. And I would much rather see Candyman up there in the horror, you know, Mount Rushmore than like Art the Clown.
100%.
I don't think Candyman ever gets enough love. And I know they tried to with the remake, but I think the remake missed the mark.
I think so as well. It missed what made it good, which I think a lot of remakes and reboots do.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, it had a social message and it was doing its thing, and that's cool. But I think it was so like on the nose, over the top, like hit you on the head. It's like, we know these things, like you don't have to like shove it down our throat. You could have done it in a much more like subtle and it just, you know, like a way that just got you thinking and feeling rather than just like, you know, all cops are bastards, you know, which was pretty much the message of the movie. It was like, okay, I get it, like, you know, I have enough white guilt, like you didn't need to do it to me like that. You didn't even do me like that, you know. But I love Candyman. I love Tony Todd. And I did get the pleasure of meeting him many, many years ago when he had a little indie film that he did called Shadow Dead Riot, which is a prison film, which is lovely on a whole other level than Candyman is, but definitely worth a watch if you can find it anywhere, which I don't even know if you can. But he was kind of like peeping into check audience reaction, and a friend of mine and I were like in a hallway, and we were just like, oh my God, Tony Todd, you're so awesome. We love you. Can we grab a picture? And he was so gracious and kind and charged us nothing. And we just got a quick snap with him, and it was just like the loveliest gentleman. You know, it just a fantastic guy in the brief encounter that I had with him. But I know that everyone who knows him well and has worked with him says the same. So, I mean, as genuine as he was, just for like nobody people that just ran into him in a hallway, probably half drunk. He was just so lovely. So I really feel like that loss, like a lot. That's a hard one. And it's way too soon as far as I'm concerned. Just way, way, way too soon.
Yeah, he's another one that I would have really loved to meet, and I'm quite sad that I'll never get the chance.
Yeah, so it was kind of like seeing Tom Skerritt and realizing just how old he is. I mean, you know, not that I wish anything on anyone, and I hope he lasts for, you know, as long as possible, as long as comfortable and quality of life is there. I think everybody should live that long. But yeah, I'm really glad that I was able to at least briefly talk with him. I didn't even want to monopolize this time enough to be like, Alien is a movie that kind of like really sent me down a path. That was definitely one of those pivotal moments that I can point at, like the first time I saw Alien, you know, and how much it means to me. But I'm just glad that I got to see him. It was kind of like an Alien reunion, But I didn't do the whole thing. I just was happy to see Tom Skerritt. So we had just seen Guar the night before. My niece Ziki and I went. We go, it's a tradition. We see Guar every year. And last night was the night we went into Philly and saw Guar there. And it was a good show. Guar is always a good time. Any opportunity you have to see Guar is fantastic. But the vibes were a little bit different. I don't know if it's because we just came out of an election and we are not talking politics at all. But we just came out of an election and I don't know. The pit was weird. The vibes were weird. And I know Guar is what it is. And they have a lot of statements. They just no candidates, no parties, and just kill everybody. So, I mean,
valid.
Regardless of what you believe in, Guar is always a safe space. And I don't know. The vibes were like a little bit different, I felt like. And the pit was weird because it wasn't just like in one spot. It was like moving all over. And there was like a little like chick who was not like a little girl, but she was short, like small in stature. A woman who was near us, she probably was like 5'11". I mean, she was really short. And she was like, is this a better space? Because I can't find some place where I will not get run over. And I was like, girl, I'm trying. And I'm going to tell you, my shoulders and my arms today are literally sore just from maintaining my place. Like, I was not in the pit, which I will do. But I was not in this pit. I just was trying to, like, stand in one spot and not lose Zeke. And just like kind of keep us together and just kind of like protect other people that didn't want to fall down. Like just from that, just from maintaining. I'm like a little sore in like my arms and my shoulders. So it was very strange. It was very strange, but it was still a lot of fun. And that's why my voice is a little raspier than usual, I guess. Maybe you guys like it. I don't know. Let me know what you think. You're like, finally, she's not so like squeaky and ridiculous.
Are we easier? Like a human. Are we easier or harder to tell apart now? Let us know. That is the one comment that I get a lot, especially from like even from people who know us in person. Is like, I can't tell you guys apart when I'm listening.
Well, we used to do that when Smooshy would call, like one of the other one, yeah. Like whoever he was calling, the other one would answer the phone and pretend to be that one, and he would just start talking as if. Right. We were the other person. And
I guess
we live with him. Like, we've been married for 13 years.
The downside of, you know, doing a podcast with your mother / child is that your voices sound quite similar.
I feel like I hear that from like other like women podcasts that it's two women talking. Yeah. I feel like a lot of times that happens, even if they're not related.
Yeah, like a lot of them where it's anyone, it's just women sound like each other.
Yeah. Which is kind of crappy, but I don't think so.
No, I think a lot of them, it's like, I can tell them off.
Yeah, like pretty easily. Like, I'm not really worried.
That's aside the point. I guess we should start getting into the movie we're watching.
So excited. For my birthday, I get the pick. And it is 1998. It is rated R. It is 1 hour and 57 minutes. It is directed. It is a Coen Brothers movie. And I think you guys know where I'm headed. It is The Big Lebowski.
She's really excited.
I'm so excited. I really, really, really enjoy this movie. It's, you know, and I'm kind of, not that I don't love horror movies, you know, that is my life, but after watching all of them in October.
We need a little break. We're all a little bit
I don't have my final points yet from The Madness and to see where I am in standings from last year. Last year I dipped a little bit and I'm really hoping that I at least maintain this year because I know I had some breaks when I could have been watching more. But it is nice to take a little step to the outside and not do a horror film.
I love that we say we need a break when literally yesterday we were at a horror convention. So, okay.
I know.
We are a little bit burnt out and we do need a break, but it is still our life.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, it is what it is. I mean, when the convention shows up 10 minutes from your house, you're going to go.
Right.
Like, if I had to drive an hour and a half, I might have been like, I don't know if I feel like it. Because I'm also very tired. Because
I
was at work the day after Halloween and then it's just been like, I haven't had, like, this is the first day where I really feel like I'm just, like, sitting still. So, I'm very tired. So it's nice. I'm excited. I'm very happy. And we are going to drink White Russians.
Yes.
So I'm hype for that.
They're my favorite drink. I'm so excited.
I am hype for that. Yes, because you were born in like the 60s. You were born before I was.
Well, I like them a lot because that's what Moss asks for on IT Crowd. But they also are just really good.
So for those of you that don't know, and I don't know who you may be, maybe if there's younger members of the Super 8 who have not seen this movie yet.
I haven't seen it.
Watch it, watch it, watch it. It is so good. Jeff Bridges has like my second favorite Hollywood hair, just below John Carpenter. I love it so much. You're going to see John Goodman when he still had some weight on him. And I know he lost it for health reasons, but I like a big guy. Julianne Moore, who I think is just like amazing. I love her. If there was a movie of my life, I always wanted her to play me. And Steve Buscemi, I mean, come on. Come on. And Philip Seymour Hoffman, RIP. And Tara Reid when she was still like young and cute and like not totally like over the wall. So, I mean, oh, and Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And if Flea is in it, you know it's got to be good. It's delight. I think there's going to be some really good moments we can talk about. I hope that you enjoy it as much as I do now that I've hyped it up like way over the moon. I've never met anybody that was just like, oh, God, I freaking hate The Big Lebowski. So I'm hoping that you'll at least be amused by it, even if you don't, like, absolutely love it. But I know, like, for a while, it was, like, huge. They had little conventions where people would, like, dress up.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was an episode of Ace of Cakes. And I know this is kind of dating myself a little bit, too, like, back when Ace of Cakes was on, where they were doing a cake for a little Big Lebowski gathering. And they did it in the shape of a toe, which will make sense in a little while.
Okay.
So there you go. But I am excited. I've got my half and half ready to go. I've got some Kahlua. Like, I'm on it. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's strap in.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Am I wrong?
You're not wrong, Walter. You're just an asshole.
Okay, then.
How good is John Goodman in this movie?
Really good.
Isn't he so fun? He's so off. It's great. Everything is about Vietnam.
Yeah, it's like one of those things where it's like it's good, but it's also making me kind of uncomfortable to watch him just because he's like at an 11 the entire time. And I'm like, this guy's going to break.
Unless it's Yomer Shabbos and then he's not doing anything.
Oh, true.
Can't drive, can't handle true. Money, can't turn on the oven.
Can't pick up the phone unless it's a life or death emergency.
Oh, God. I love it. I love it. So did you like it?
I did enjoy it. I thought it was pretty good.
That's not the reaction I was hoping for, but it's okay.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No, it's like, did you love it or did you love it? Oh, it's fine.
Cool. I don't think I like it as much as you do, but I do think it is good.
It'll grow on you.
It probably will. And I think it probably... It's probably just not my jam in the way that it's like, it's just, I don't know.
Okay. Well, we have another Coen Brothers movie coming up, so maybe we will skip it.
Well, maybe I'll like that one better.
I don't know. I mean, there's quite a variety to choose from. They've done quite a few.
I'm not saying this. I did like it. I did like it quite a bit.
All right. Fine. I know I saw you laugh at least a couple times. I know there was at one point where like, how are they going to wrap this up in like half an hour?
I was like, yeah, feel like I didn't get like I got solid answers, but I feel like they were kind of underwhelming.
Well, I think because, you know, once you hit that turning point, it's kind of like none of this really matters anymore because now we're doing this. Like,
now I'm a nihilist.
Well, no. Now some other things are more important. So it's like, what are you going to do? Just a couple of trigger warnings for this one. It's not as intense as a lot of the other ones that we've watched.
It's pretty chill.
I mean, there is definitely some PTSD from Vietnam.
There's a gun flashing.
There is some gunplay for sure. There's some definitely alcohol use and drug use that are happening in here. But, I mean, I think that's pretty much it.
Dismembered toe.
There's a dismembered toe, an actual toe. There's a lot of threats of violence. There's, like, some light violence, yeah, but nothing.
It's mostly threats and not, like, actual action.
Yeah, it's just, like, a whap, like, some beating up that happens. And there is a death, which is sad.
It's sad, but yeah. It's not, like, you know, but it's violent.
It's not a violent death. It's just something that happens. It's a little sad. So you will get, like, a little bit sad when you watch this. But that's it. The rest of it is a whole lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's about it.
I think that's it for our uncomfortable moments.
Yeah, like, for the real things.
Or
that would bug someone.
I'm sorry. It's not nearly, that's it for our trigger warning.
Yeah, it's not nearly as heavy as a lot of the other stuff that we've watched this season, which is kind of a delight for my birthday. So, there you go.
Birthday delight.
Yes.
Birthday
nobody fun. Has to completely squirm in the month of November. Not like Reanimator that we did last year for my birthday, which was just like wildly uncomfortable. So I'm giving everybody a break because I'm tired. This is a really rough October and I need a break. So we're going to take it here.
This year I feel like was rougher than last.
Yeah. Yeah, it really was. It was just, just trying to get things done, man.
Yeah, get things done. And this hot weather, not okay.
Yeah, it was a lot of heat. A lot of heat. And we're finally getting rain. We were in that drought for like a month too. So, yeah, you get a little bit of a break with a fun one this time around. Next year, I'll really have to double down on the uncomfortable.
Oh, it's going to be rough.
Yeah, next year's a milestone birthday, so I'm really going to dig deep. Just warning you now.
Watch Hereditary. You hate Hereditary.
I do hate Hereditary, but, you know, the people like it, so maybe we should.
I'm not going to make you watch that for your birthday.
Okay, not for my birthday, but... It is definitely uncomfortable for a number of reasons. I will not watch Midsommar ever again.
No.
I'm with you on that train. Never again will I watch that. So even though this got a lot of like uncomfortable moments, it's just watching Florence Pugh cry for 2 hours. Like I can't. Makes me very uncomfortable and I don't want to see it in my life.
I don't like her.
Poor Florence.
Sorry, Florence.
Anyway.
Anyway, back to the matter at hand.
All right. So it's what? It's a touching tale about the dude
who gets his home broken into and his rug peed on.
Yes.
Because he has the same name as this guy who is a millionaire, supposedly.
Yes. And his wife owes money all over town.
His wife, Bunny.
Yes. And so they come to collect from the dude because his name is Jeff Lebowski.
And they think that he is the millionaire Lebowski, but right. He is dude.
Yes. And the millionaire is also Jeff Lebowski. But, I mean, these guys just come in and pee on the dude's rug. And he's like, well, what the hell?
Yep.
So he tells his friend Walter about it and is like, he's like, well, you know, why should you have just a peed on rug? It really held the room together.
Yeah, that rug really held the room
together. You know, I mean, when it was this other guy's fault, like, it's his rug that
was supposed
to peed on.
Wait, what happened to your rug?
It really held the room together.
I'm sorry. I like his character so much because that's how I feel like 90% of the time. Where it's like, I want to be involved, but I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, that's Donnie, Steve Buscemi's character, who is like, he's just kind of there to bowl and hang out. And like Walter and the dude always have like this whole thing happening. And I feel like the dude, you know, the dude abides. The dude is just kind of chilling. And Walter's like, well, you need to do this. And he'll like kind of rile the dude up or like get him into a situation.
Yeah, Walter's very much the catalyst.
Like, off the rails entirely. And Donnie is like catching bits and pieces of this whole thing. And like anytime he tries to like be there or interject, it's always like, shut the fuck up, Donnie. Like, shut up, Donnie. Like, the conversation just doesn't, like, start and end when you want it to, Donnie. Like, it's
like, I was literally bowling for our team. Yeah.
Bowling is huge here. Yeah. Like, the whole thing is kind of, they're always at the bowling lane. Anytime anything happens, they don't know what else to do. It's like, oh, let's go bowling. And they're just trying to get, like, they're in a league and they're just trying to, like, get to the playoffs for the league. And, like, nothing can interrupt league play. And it's, like, a whole thing. Like, so everything always comes back to bowling. It's lovely. So how would you describe the dude? What would you say about him?
He's just a laid back guy who doesn't really want to get into a fight, doesn't really want to be involved with anything. He just wants to go bowling with his friends. He's always smoking weed and drinking White Russians. And then this opportunity falls into his lap and he's like, I'll just see how far this goes.
Yeah. And what would you say about Walter then? Like,
Walter's off the rails.
Yeah. He's kind of like the opposite of the dude.
Right? He's a good foil, I guess.
Yeah.
Walter is off the rails. He's off the rails, but he's also always doing stuff for his ex-wife.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand.
Yeah, it's kind of like he's a Vietnam vet. He's like obviously got PTSD going on and just like doesn't know how to handle it or like what to do with himself. And he's like just always upset about something. Like he pulls a gun at one point because
one guy put his toe over the line, but then he's like, I didn't put my toe over the foul line, and he's like, yes, you did. Bam. Like, I'm gonna shoot you.
Yeah. And it turns into like a whole thing. Like, he's just like always, like, he's always, yeah, an 11. I think that's a great way to describe him. So pretty much what happens is the dude is like, you know what, Walter, you're right, let me go see this other guy. You know, the other guy is like, you're a bum, get away from me. Like, you can't, you know, the bums have lost. My people have always won.
Yeah,
you know?
Why should I have to give you a rug? I didn't pee on your rug.
Everybody's looking for a handout, da-da-da-da. And he has this assistant, Grant, who's played by Philip Seymour Hoffman. It's just like, he's just such a dork. He does such a good job in this role. And, you know, Lebowski kicks him out of his office and, you know, he just runs into Grant and he's like, oh, he said I could take whatever rug I want. You know, it's like, oh, okay. So they like pack up a rug. He's on his way out. And then he meets
Bunny.
Yeah, Bunny, Lebowski's wife. And she's like painting her toenails green. And she like holds him up. She's like, blow on my toes. And he's like,
And then he like points over to this guy in the pool. He's like, can't he blow on your toes?
It's like, he's a nihilist. He doesn't care about anything. And then she comes back with the line that we just are going to use here as our first uncomfortable moment.
Yeah. So that's 16 minutes, 3 seconds to 16 minutes, 12 seconds. And
not a long moment.
No, no, no. So Bunny offers to give the dude a blowjob for, what is it, $1,000?
Why she thought he had $1,000 is beyond me. Just by looking at him, he's always just like so sloppy.
So sloppy. He's always got like stains on his shirt. His collar is always like pulled and roughed up.
He clearly has no money. No. He's got like holes everywhere. Like he's a bum. So she offers that and then like, you know, Grant's just like, oh, okay, yeah. She's such a getter. And then she's like, well, you know, he can't watch, but if he does, you know, he'll have to pay $100. It's like, oh, okay. And, you know, then they go home with the rug.
Just like that.
Just like that. So, I mean, what happens next is, Hijinks.
So much hijinks in this movie.
Yeah. Hijinks really ensue. And then there's just like, there's a supposed kidnapping plot. There's like embezzlement that happens. There's
a rug stealing plot.
Car theft. Like, yeah, like you name it. It's just like crime after crime after crime. And your job is just to try to like keep track of the thread. And figure out, you know, what's actually happening. Who's this? Who's that? Like, how does this even, like, all fit together?
Like, who's in league with who and how does this work together?
How does this affect me?
Yes.
And it's, like, the dude is just trying to, like, navigate all of this. And then, like, every time he, like, goes to take another step in this plot, like, Walter will, like, kind of step in and just take that step, like, off the rails. He's like, oh, let me do this thing. And it's, like, an inch. And then Walter's like, no, we're going to do this thing. And it's, like, a mile.
Yeah, it's like the dude's like, oh, I should just cross the bridge. And Walter's like, nah, let's swim over the river.
Yeah, like, let's jump off the bridge.
And just swim in the river.
It'll be better. So we've met, you know, the dude and his thing. We know the whole thing with Mr. Lebowski, who's the big Lebowski, and his wife. And then now there's another Lebowski that shows up into the picture.
His daughter.
From his first marriage.
His first marriage, who wants the rug back because it was a gift to her late mother.
Mm-hmm. It has sentimental value.
Sentimental value to her. And that whole scene with her, we listed it as uncomfortable.
Yes.
It's not.
I love Maud Lebowski.
Oh,
I think
it's
she's amazing.
It's such a great scene. I think that it's done so well. And like everyone has just like such a straight face. And it's very serious. And it's just like done very well. But
her whole character is uncomfortable.
Oh,
and, like purposely.
Yeah, it's
purposely
it's
uncomfortable.
Great.
Yeah, it's just a lovely thing.
That scene is 43 minutes 20 seconds to 46 minutes 47 seconds. You have quite a long time where you're just trying to piece the plot together,
right,
before you see like another uncomfortable moment.
Right. And I mean, and she just kind of adds like a whole other dynamic onto this because you're like, what the heck is she even want with any of this? So how would you characterize our introduction to Maud Lebowski? Like, how do we first see her?
Well, we first see her as she like the dude is walking up to like some art that's on the floor.
Yeah, because she has sent for him because she's like, I took your rug.
Come meet with me
and we're gonna discuss this.
Right.
I'll send a car.
So he's walking up and he sees this art that she did where it's kind of like, what is that, the Peruvian man or what's that one where it's like he's like, but it's also a snow angel in this one. What's that art called? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, the one where it's like,
yeah,
Da Vinci?
Yeah.
Dead with like
something
all the arms.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does look like a snow angel.
It does look like that, and it looks like a snow angel. Hers is more smeary, which is why I say it looks more like a snow angel.
Well, I'm pretty sure it was meant to be like she was just nude and she laid down in the paint and just went like this.
Whatever. They look the same. And then she's ziplining topless along her ceiling and whipping paint at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's our introduction to her. She's just like very, I guess, eccentric is the word.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, artsy and that whole type of vibe. And then just like very business as well.
Right. Yeah. She's everything that she says is very deadpan. I mean, there's like one point where she's laughing, but like everything else, she just kind of says with a very straight face, like, you know, this is this, that is that, this is how things are, da 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 da. Like, she's not really over the top with anything except for like one scene. We're like, whoa, what the heck is going on?
Yeah, we're like at the end of the scene, she just suddenly like picks up the phone, smiles, and starts laughing.
Like uncontrollably. It's like so wild. And then it's like the dude is so confused. But yeah, so she spends a lot of time talking about vaginas and how they can make people uncomfortable. And talking about penises and how they don't make people uncomfortable. And then she shows a little bit of a porno tape.
That Bunny was in with the Nihilist.
With the Nihilist. Yeah. And she's like, would you take a look at this? I mean, you know, clearly something is afoot here. This is just like a gold digging, you know, chick who showed up here trying to get my father's money. And then she kind of goes on to explain that she kind of agrees with what the dude had already been thinking separately, that maybe there was no real kidnapping and Bunny had just kidnapped herself to try and get money because she can't live within her means. She owes money everywhere. And there's definitely no love lost between Maud and Bunny. Bunny is just like a thorn in Maud's side and like she doesn't want any of this. So she wants to kind of enlist the dude's help now too to try and find what's going on.
Money. Oh, yeah. And figure out like what's going on.
Yeah. Like, did she kidnap herself? Like, what's going on? Like, how are we going to end this?
Right. So, yeah, she's going to give him like 10% of the $1 million if he can find the $1 million and bring it back to her.
Correct.
And then he can use that money to buy a rug.
Right.
All right, I think that we actually might have gotten ahead of ourselves a little bit. So let's tie some plots together.
Yeah, a very quick recap. So the kidnapping, Bunny is kidnapped. The Big Lebowski hires the dude to be the courier because the ransomers are demanding $1 million. So the dude is supposed to be the one to make the drop to see if it's the same people who peed on his rug. Because the Big Lebowski thinks they may be one and the same. And nobody else has seen them except for the dude. So he's like, you know, yeah, you can go do this. My poor wife is gone. Her life is in her hands. In your hands. I need it back, blah, blah, blah. So the dude is supposed to be the courier. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you know, when he goes to make the drop to the kidnappers, the alleged kidnappers, I'm using air quotes that y'all can't see, everything goes horribly wrong thanks to Walter. So
yeah, because Walter's like, oh, just like you said, she probably kidnapped herself.
Right.
Let's, you know,
let's like try and pull one over on that.
On them, and then we'll get the $1 million.
Right. And just keep it for ourselves because who cares? They're rich.
Yeah.
So all of that has gone to hell. And now Maud is here and she is like, hey.
All of that because they had the $1 million. In the safe or in the briefcase in the car, but then the car got stolen when they went to go bowling.
Yeah, just like a total comedy of errors.
Yeah, because even the drop-off part where they were trying to do didn't go how they planned.
Like zero goes how it's supposed to go in this movie, which is I think what makes it so delightful.
Yeah.
So now he's got two people that are looking for their, well, I mean, everybody's looking for Bunny. Everybody's looking for the money. They're all promising him a cut of the cash. And he, in reality, has no idea where the money is at all. And he's just kind of like going along like, oh, yeah, I totally can find it. Do, 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 do. Like, you know, I don't know, just like hoping everything is going to work out. Just figuring like, yeah, we'll figure it out at one point or another. Or I'll just run or whatever. Like,
yeah, something will work out.
Yeah.
But the police find his car and he's able to get his car back where he thinks the money is, but the money is not to be found.
The money is not to be found.
But they do find a kid's social sciences homework.
Like, something like that.
Some homework.
Piece of homework that he's failing.
And they use that to track the kid down and then threaten the kid in order to try and get the money back.
Yeah, they're trying to shake down this kid, but they don't. That is also unsuccessful, but no. They still believe that the kid has the money somewhere. So in comes another player in all of this who is looking for Bunny because she owes him all the cash. Because everybody was saying that Bunny owes money all over town. Well, this man, Jackie Treehorn, is who she owes all the money to. Now, Jackie Treehorn is big in the adult film industry, and had actually made the film that Maude had showed to the dude when they first met. So everybody knows everybody's kind of intertwined. So the nihilist in the pool, Jackie, Treehorn, Bunny, like everybody knows all each other in these circles. And he's like, where's Bunny? Where's the money? Like, where are all these things? And the dude's like, oh, some kid who's 15 named Larry has it.
We should also mention that the people who wrote the initial kidnapping letter are also threatening the dude and sent a tow to the Big Lebowski.
Oh, yes, the tow.
Which ties into the cake.
The same green nail polish that Bunny was painting her nails with when we first meet her. So everybody's like, they sent the tow. They're really going to kill her. Like, it's not a fake kidnapping anymore. It's a real kidnapping because, like, clearly I have a tow.
Right. And it must be Bunny's tow because who else's tow would it be?
Right. So.
So now we're going to Treehorn's Island.
Treehorn's Island in Malibu.
In Malibu.
Right.
And we're introduced to the island by topless women bouncing on like this giant trampoline type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens 1 hour, 14 minutes, 57 seconds to 1 hour, 15 minutes, 39 seconds. They're just kind of like, it's like a big trampoline, but it's like a parachute more.
Yeah. Well, either way, they're like bouncing all over the place. Yeah. So that is, so Treehorn's Island is kind of where
it's hard to explain this whole thing.
Yeah. I mean,
we're sorry.
Yeah. So Jackie Treehorn has the dude there because he thinks he knows something and he's just like playing a game.
Right. So these two guys went in and knocked the dude out and brought him to the island.
Right. And we find out that the rug pissers are the ones that Jackie Treehorn had initially sent
to go get
the money.
Right.
So they're not the kidnappers because Jackie Treehorn doesn't know where the hell she is.
Right.
So it's, you know, and he's like, okay, cool, but like, I don't know where she is. We think maybe, you know, this, that, whatever. But Larry, this 15-year-old kid has your cash. Like, go get it from him. And he's like, huh. Okay, cool. Like, you want another drink? Yeah, like, I'll take another.
Which, I mean, like, he probably thinks that the dude's making it up because, like, duh.
I mean, duh. So he's, like, fixing him another White Russian. He brings it back. He takes a phone call. He's, like, taking a note on a paper. And the dude sees this. He's like, oh, I'm going to be clever. And he goes over the paper and he, like, you know, does that trick with the pencil that you learn when you're, like, in fifth grade and you read, like, a mystery novel. And you're like, oh, I can see. And you do the shading over to see, like, what the depressions in the paper are. And it's just, like, a naked dude. Like, a doodle of a naked man.
It's ridiculous.
With, like, his dick in the air. It's so funny. So he's like, oh, what? And he takes it and he rips it off. He comes back and they're like doing a little chit chat and he's like, yeah, just go see Larry. He lives over by the In-N-Out Burger. You're going to be like totally fine. You're going to get it. And, you know, he goes to stand up and he falls over and he smacks his head on the table and he's like passed out. And that is when you probably have the most like famous part of this movie, which is this dream sequence.
Which is the second dream sequence in the movie, I will say.
It is, but it is the best one. Where he is, you know, in the like the maintenance outfit, like this white like maintenance outfit, like overalls with like a tool belt and the sleeves ripped off. And he's dancing in to I just dropped in to see what condition my condition is in. And then you see Maude in the iconic bowling ball Valkyrie outfit,
which is really nice,
which is like so cool, and it has always been like one of the things I always wanted to make. I love it so much, and they do this whole like bowling scene thing that goes on, and he's having like the best dream, the best time. And then you get like one quick
flash of a topless woman at 1 hour, 23 minutes, 18 seconds,
and it's like, and it's over, like blink and you'll miss it. And then like, it's kind of as soon as you see that, then the dream suddenly shifts and he's being chased by the group of nihilists with giant scissors because they did threaten to chop his Johnson off if he didn't get the money to them. So he's like chasing him and he's running. And the next thing you know, like he's actually like running down a street, but he doesn't know how he got there or what happened or anything like that. And I think that's it for like the really uncomfortable moments.
I mean, you're going to have to figure out how it wraps up in the last 30 minutes like I did.
So. Yeah, because I mean, it's about like that 30 minute mark that's left. And it's just like, how the heck are you going to
figure this out? It's a great time. It's probably not what you're expecting, but maybe it is. I don't know.
No.
Either way, it's an enjoyable watch.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, like there is a little bit of a sad moment in there towards the end, just as a warning. But other than that, it's just a lot of fun. All right. So, yeah, there's a little bit of a sad moment at the end. But, you know, other than that, you kind of it does resolve. And like Kat says, it doesn't completely resolve. Nothing has been put, like a big red bow is not tied on the end of this. But I think if that's just like a Coen Brothers thing. Like nobody is really gonna get.
I don't love everything. That's like the only reason they want. I'm back in probably. That like and I think not, it's a bit confusing.
You're not gonna get all of the answers that you want, but you're gonna get a lot of them, and you're definitely gonna get a wild ride. I don't know if we did the best job of explaining this one, just because there's so much going on, and honestly, I just really want everybody to watch it, and then they'll be like, "Oh, that's what she was talking about." Yeah, they didn't do a great job, like.
There's a lot going on, and a lot of something it is like is visual gags or stuff that's just hard to explain when you're not sitting there watching it, experiencing it.
Correct. But I mean, and I legit just don't want to give everything away. It's just so much fun. And the whole vibe, it's not something that I can tell you about and that you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. It's something that you really should see. This is a great, I mean, Jeff Bridges has been in so many things. I mean, this is an iconic character of his. It's, you know, it's got some scenes that are just like such like a staple of like American film. I mean, it's just something that everyone should witness. And I think it's great. So for me, I'm giving it like a pretty high rating. I'm going to say this is like an 8.5 or a 9 out of 10 for me. I love this movie.
I'm going to give it a 7.
Oh, God, you're breaking my heart.
I just think that the ending is not very satisfying and the plot's a little hard to follow.
But it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be. It makes you want to watch it again.
Okay. It doesn't make me want to watch it again.
Oh, my God.
I would watch it again, but not because the plot is confusing.
It's
but
fun,
because
though.
It's amusing. So yeah. It's good and it's amusing, so I would watch it again.
All right. And as far as an uncomfortability scale?
Pretty low.
I mean, it's pretty low. I feel like there are some things that are essential to plot
that are definitely
that are going to be great. Hard to escape from.
I'd still give it like a 5, though. I wouldn't probably go higher because it's not something where it's like very much obviously being shoved in your face. Like there are moments where that's discussed and it's that sort of thing, but it's not like,
yeah, I don't know. I still think if I was like watching it with my mom, I would still be like, ooh.
I could say maybe a 6.
I would give it about a 6. And I think it's just because they're kind of hard to escape. Like you kind of have to see everything in its entirety to get the full
effect.
And to follow, and to be able to follow the plot.
Right, right.
Because if you don't see her asking him to blow on her toes, like you're not going to get the toes
right
later, you know? And if you don't kind of catch the whole porno thing, like you're not going to get that Jackie Treehorn and the Nihilist are all kind of part of that same group, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's definitely, I want to give it like a 6 just because it's kind of unavoidable. And they do like throw a lot of stuff around just kind of casually do.
I think that's fair for sure.
Yeah. So that's where I'm going with it. I love it. I'm glad
I think it's
it.
Good.
All right, cool. Great. Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday, Mom.
It's fine.
I'm sorry.
No, you feel how you feel, and that's valid. I want everybody to like it because I really enjoy it. All right. So I guess then, gosh, what can I say about this one? I mean.
Shout outs?
Yeah.
So schmeeds?
I guess we should do all those things.
Yeah. Shout, which do we, Switch Meets first? I guess Switch Meets first, because then yeah. Shout outs are like our credits.
Sure.
All right. You can find us on Instagram at
Don't underscore look underscore podcast.
Yeah. we also have a Don't Look Podcast Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
Our email is
Don't Look Podcast at Gmail.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You act so nervous every time.
I'm never
I don't
sure
get
that
it.
It's right. I'm also at CatsMom75 on Insta, and Cat is Catastrophe Neko on Insta as well. You can find us there. We will be posting our random crap like we always do. And we forgot to mention something else that happened that's really important is Ghost is going on tour.
Oh my gosh. So, yeah, how did we forget?
And I'm going to say you won't be able to see any of our sweet ghost pics because cell phones are not allowed.
Cell phones are not allowed.
Cell phones are not allowed.
Which so. I really think we should do our Ghostbusters look for this one too. Ah. So it really sucks that they can't take pictures of us.
Oh my God. We totally
but then we'll
should.
Be an urban legend. They'll be like, dude, we saw these Ghostbusters at the Ghost. Like, No. You have to believe me. There were Ghostbusters at the ghost show.
You are right. We should do our Ghostbusters. And it's going to be July, so I think we're going to have to make shorts.
I think shorts are fine. I was going to just tie the jacket around my waist, maybe.
Yeah, we're going to have to do something.
Or like short sleeves.
But, I mean, you know what? We're going to finally be wearing seitan.
Seitan.
Instead of black. So there you go.
There we go. Because we can't have an episode without talking about ghosts.
Yes, we can. I have to sneak it in there. That and the Papa on a Pew, man. Papa I got to talk about Papa on a Pew. I'm real hyped for him. I know you think he's scary,
spooky.
But I love him. I love him so much, and I hope we get him for Christmas.
He just really seems like someone who's going to cause me a mischief.
Well, that's the whole point.
I understand.
You know?
Like, but I don't...
He looks the part, and he isn't like what the people do with their elves on shelves,
elves
where they're just
shelves,
like myrtleizing
like,
each other and stuff.
They're gonna cause trouble, and they're gonna like hurt each other or like make an inconvenience. But like Papa on a Pew gives me like the like I'm gonna grab a knife and slice your ankles.
People do that kind of crap with their elves on shelves. You never see like the dark side of the elves on shelves.
They're not slicing your human ankles. Like the Papa on a Pew. The Papa on a Pew would like race me down the hall.
He would not.
He would too.
He wouldn't. Papa's all about the love. He's not about the violence. And you
Papa
know
might be, but that guy.
I don't know about him. So you won't be able to see any cool shots from the ghost store. I mean, outside of the ghost store maybe, but
maybe.
Certainly not at the inside. So.
But we'll be here to tell you all
we'll
about it.
We'll be here to tell you all about it. Come
Papa Fun.
Come August. Come the August episode. So something for you guys to look forward to.
Ooh.
All right. And shout outs now?
Shout outs to, I don't know, shout outs to our normal shout outs. Shout out to Chuck for doing the disclaimer, Marshall for doing our wonderful music, and Billy for doing our logo. You can find Billy's information in the links in the description below.
Yep. And oh gosh, I don't even know, like so many fun things we've been doing. Shout out to everybody that came out to Graves Haunted Yard. That was awesome.
That was awesome. Shout out to Waldorf Estate of Fear.
Yep. And Penhurst Asylum and to Guar. And you guys rock as always. Such a good show. Shout out to everybody at Monster Mania. That is a family affair. In case people don't know, that is a family that puts that stuff on.
I didn't know that.
This is like, I don't know, the 60th, 56th. I don't know. There's so many of them that happen. But it started out as a family enterprise. I don't know if it's still just family, but it definitely started out that way.
Shout out to Damian Leone, who I saw and I wanted to ask my questions to, but your line was
so long.
So long. And I don't want you to sign anything. I just want to talk to you.
Shout out to Catherine Newton for signing
Shout
your sweet
Catherine
poster.
For being like such a cool person too.
And for Tom Skerritt for being there for me for all these years. And Tony Todd, RIP. I know you can see us and hear us from wherever you are right now in the great beyond. And you are missed 100%. And you know what? Everybody else too. Why not?
Yeah, shout out to all you
all
sweet listeners out there.
All the super eight, all eight all of you. We love you. And we appreciate everything you guys do for us, which is just be there, really.
Be there.
That's all we need you to do.
Be there all the time. Tell your friends to be there. We just, you know, we appreciate your listens.
Because we should all be there for each other these days.
These days, yep.
These days.
Should hold our loved ones close, man.
Correct. And these days and every day.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else to add?
I think I'm good.
All right. I'm feeling those white Russians kicking.
Yeah, we gotta watch the game.
All right.
I'm just
saying, if anybody breaks into your bathroom while you're having a relaxing soak and, you know, maybe tosses a marmot into the water with you and threatens you that you better get the money, the best thing I can tell you is, bro, just don't look.
Listen.
Aren't ferrets marmots?
Oh, are they?
Are marmots ferrets?
Are marmots ferrets?
Are marmots? All marmots are ferrets, but not all ferrets are marmots. Are ferrets marmots?
I think it's the other way. I think all ferrets are marmots, but not all marmots are ferrets.
Are ferrets marmots? No, it's not a marmot.
Ferrets are not marmots, guys. Breaking news.
What's a marmot? Oh, groundhogs are marmots.
Oh, that's nothing like a ferret.
All ferrets are rodents, but not all rodents are marmots.
Are marmots. All ferrets are rodents, but not all rodents are marmots.
There we go.
And that has been your zoology lesson for the day, guys.
It says marmots, including groundhogs, are rodents, but not aquatic. So it's not a marmot. And I think they even called it an amphibious marmot. Rodent, maybe he called it. I don't know. I don't know if it was a marmot. It was funny. It's a European ferret. But he wasn't European on that rug.
I feel like I have to include this.
Yeah.
This little end of it's going to be so freaking long.